grateful to be here tonight. I want you to know that it's my testimony that I am nobody special. I love the Lord with all my heart, and I want to be faithful to Him, and I want to be a willing vessel. I'm entirely dependent on the Lord. There is a theme, in my testimony, that I believe that we need the Lord through every season of life, and we have to live this life by faith. And I don't believe that we ever get to the point that we've arrived to where we can handle anything on our own. I mean, we have a personal responsibility, but we're so dependent on the Lord in everything that we face, and I feel that again tonight. I feel very dependent on the Lord, and appreciate the song that was sung about, you know, and the desire for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. And that's my prayer too. I can tell you as a minister that even as I minister, as I think my heart is also open. I have to be a first partaker of the fruit. Lord, I also want you to deal with my heart and my life. And that's my testimony, is that I need the Lord to help me also. I have a subject I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart for tonight, and it's not a fun one. I mean, there might be some things that I would choose of my own. I'll put it this way. I don't love rules. It's my personality. I want to understand the meaning of a rule in order to follow it. And if it doesn't seem logical to me, it's really hard for me to submit to it. And so because of that, there's some things in life, I'm just speaking generally, that I think are, I just don't think it's maybe my way I would do things or the way I would set something up. And so there is, I think of like, if there's police officers or something, they're going to manage those rules. There's different people in our society that their job is to enforce the rules, whether you like them or not. And I'm going to write a word on the board in the drawer. All right, there's a drawer here. And I don't know, maybe someone in here has this role in life, and I don't know that I would enjoy it. I've written the word on the board, audit. And we have a company out in Washington State, and our company is right on the border between the two states, just on the Washington side. And one of the things about Oregon tax law is that there's no sales tax in the state of Oregon. So you can buy anything there. They have tax on cars, but goods have no taxes. So it's a common practice for people in the state of Washington to buy things in the state of Oregon because you save 8.2%, 8.3%. But as a business, it's against the law. If you buy something in the state of Oregon, you must file with the government and tell them that you have bought these things, these supplies, and that you've used them, and you have to pay an excise tax to the state of Washington, which is the equivalent of a sales tax in Oregon. So they get their money that way and put it into the community. And it's pretty standard practice for the auditors in our county to audit businesses just in general to see if they're following this practice. And I was audited. Our company was audited in this way. And I still remember the feeling that I had when I got the mail, and it's got the little government mark, and I open it, and inside it says, "You're under audit." There's a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings I had opening that letter, and none of them were positive. And it's not because I felt like I had done something wrong, but because I don't want someone to come question what I'm doing, and what if I did make a mistake? And there's a spiritual application to this, and I'll read a few scriptures in a minute, but I want to lay this foundation in your mind that the reason we have revival services and the reason why we come together is because I want the Lord to do an audit on my life right now. It's for my good. Whether I can say whether the IRS audits me is for my good or not, that could be questioned. But I'm very interested in what the Spirit of the Lord has to say about my life right now. And there are still a host of emotions that we have and responses that we have when we're under audit. There's a way that we react. And there, you know, when I read that letter, immediately my mind thought, well, Have I been as careful as I should have been? Did I understand the law like I should have? Are there things they're going to find that I didn't know? And of course, with them, the amazing part is that they can go back whatever length of time they want to. It's not like just because no one said anything in 2016 or 2017, they can say, we've decided to audit you from 2013 all the way to present. And now we need all the documentation that proves that you've done things in the way that you ought to. And it's the same really with the Lord. There's not an expiration of statute that says that time has gone by, and because it's kind of covered in the sands of time, I'm still responsible for all the things that have occurred in my life that if I haven't dealt with them. And the carefulness that then comes, if you want to talk about what happened back then, and then my mind started going to some of those things, and well, did we do everything in the right way? Did we catch everything? And their job is to find things that you can't possibly have known, and that's okay. You pay it and you move on, and there's as long as you're not hiding stuff on purpose. But there's a responsibility that we have that when the Spirit of the Lord comes, there's not a statute of limitations on my life. I appreciate the blood, and I appreciate that wipes away the history. But if I have not taken account of those things, then that's part of my burden tonight, is taking account of the things that are in our life. I'm responsible for them. The salvation is a free gift. The Lord has given it. There's nothing of me that I am not. It's not because I'm good enough. It's not because I've risen to some stature. It's a free gift. I'm still responsible for my life once that gift. The Lord has an expectation on us from that. I thought about that, you know, as you're going along and you're filling out your tax. This is not about taxes, by the way. It's just a good parallel. But as you're going along, there can be a thought process that says, no one will know. If no one has checked this, and typically in fraud what happens is they start small. And over time, if no one catches it, it gets bigger and bigger. And then it's something, well, no one's checking, so no one knows. And that's the carefulness that I have to have before the Lord. I'm not the people police. I'm not the heart police. Your pastor isn't the heart police. It's not my job to go and to question you on everything in your life. And just because no one asked me about this doesn't mean I'm not responsible for what I know is right. And I can't take the attitude just because no one's checked me on something that I not need to be careful about some of the choices that I make and the decisions and where I put things on the ledger. When they perform an audit, it's an independent body, and there's a reason for that because if it's up to me, and I think about people that have gotten in trouble over time, just in businesses and in the sports worlds and things, if they're not, they'll say, we'll do a self-audit, and then we'll present our findings and how we'll penalize ourselves, and hopefully that's enough. But a real audit is independent. You really have no choice. You have to turn over the documentation that's requested, and then you have to live by the judgment that they make, and whether or not you followed the rules or not. It's outside of your hands to a certain extent when it comes to that point. When I have the opportunity is when I'm making the record. When I'm deciding what, that's when it's in my hands. But when the audit comes, it's out of my hands now. I can't change the decisions that I made. I can plead ignorance. I can claim I didn't know. There's a lot of things I can hide behind. But what's in the record is in the record. And there's an independent body that looks at that and makes a judgment and says whether that's accurate or not. I thought about, in terms of it, in this light of the balancing of books that we have to have in a business, that things have to be balanced. They can't be out of balance. That you have to record things in a proper way. And one of the ways that I thought about this, and just I felt inspired by it, I love the scripture that tells us that there is a throne of grace for our time of need, that there's a place to come before when we have needs in our life. And there is a grace that God gives for everything that he extends to us. We sang it in the song, not only a saving grace, but a keeping grace. It saves us from where we were, but it also then keeps us from the things that we used to do. But part of the reason we need grace is because there's truth. That's why if there was no truth, I don't need grace. If there's not something to measure me by, then there's no need for grace in my life. I can live how I want to unless there's a law, unless there's a rule, unless there's an expectation. It's the same as if you audit my books. If there's no law, I can do whatever I want. But once there is something that is established, now I'm responsible for it, and they can have mercy or grace, or they cannot. They can penalize me. And there's a balance to this, that there's, if I have truth and knowledge, I'm responsible to it, and I appreciate the Lord's grace, and I need it. But there's also then a responsibility that comes with the knowledge that says, I'm going to keep my book. I don't just live in the grace column, and I know all of this is what's expected, but I just live like this, and I lean totally. No, there's grace and truth in our life. There's knowledge and understanding, and then there's the grace of God that allows us to live by that. So I want to go read Matthew in the 25th chapter here. Starting in the 19th verse, and I think most of you know this account, so we won't read all of it for the sake of time, but it talks about a lord that gave, or a man that gave his servants talents. And in the 19th verse, it says, after a long time. And again, I would draw your attention that the length of time typically is not good for us. I'll put it that way. After a long time, we have a tendency to lean in a direction of being not as careful. It's really what it is. Time makes us not as careful in most things. If you get a new car, if you get a new house, you're very attentive to everything, and over time, you're not as attentive and careful. You just don't care like I used to. The new car smell's gone. We've eaten in it four times now. We might as well eat in it all the time. Your attitude has changed over time. So it says, after a long time, so some period have gone by from this. And it's good for us to not allow a long time. And it's up to the Lord how he deals with us, but I want to be careful about my life that I don't just go a long time just going in a direction. The Lord has an expectation, and I want him to monitor my life on a regular basis. I don't want to get comfortable doing things that he's not happy with in my life. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them. There's a reckoning that happens, that this opportunity we have now is like a pre-audit, if you will. It's an opportunity that we have to make things right. But there is a reckoning that comes that there is no more opportunity. You have no more chance to change or to correct or to balance the book, so to speak, but you're responsible, and there's a penalty that comes that we simply can't afford. And this time is that the Lord in his mercy sends the reckoning in our life to say, listen, this is the truth. I have the grace for it. But if you don't listen to me, there's a time coming when mercy ends. There's a time coming when I can't reckon, and then the Lord reckons, and that's it. I can't go and fix or change or plead the blood or ignorance. I'm responsible then at that point. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord makes every opportunity and tries and strives and pushes, and he's long-suffering towards us. But there comes a time when my days are over. That there's no, this reckoning matters to us now. So he came and he reckoned. He balanced. He come to determine where things are. And it says that he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. This, I don't think in the business world, I'm not sure anybody's ever gone through, and maybe there's been a few, where they just said, oh, you just did a good job. But there is an opportunity in serving the Lord. He has the grace and the ability to work with us to where this is the answer. That I can stand before him and I can say, as David did, Lord, search my heart. And there, we sang the song, I surrender all. Lord, all of my life is available to you. All of my decisions, my stands, my choices. Lord, I submit my life to you in every part. And when we do that, the Lord has the authority, and we can respond to that. That when we present ourselves, there is a it's you've done a there's an acceptance that the Lord has of our life. And I want to live in that place where I feel the blessing of God. The enemy is an accuser, and he likes to bring things to mind. And I want to encourage you tonight that if the enemy accuses you and you have not erred in truth, that you have not turned your back on God, that is a devil tactic to make us afraid and to cast us down and to make us feel as if we're in a box and we can't do anything. The Lord wants to say, well done. Now, good. That is his desire, is for us to be able to live according to his word by his grace. That's what Jesus came to give us by his spirit, was the ability for him to come in our life and be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's his desire. And if we don't have the positive figures in our life that have taught us that, we can come to a place where we just expect condemnation all the time. And I just want to encourage you tonight that it is the Lord's desire for us to live before him well done. And that's the provision that he has made for us, is to be able to come and say, Ken, well done. You're living by the truth that I've given you. You live by my grace. There's unction in your life. You're submitted to me. Well done. And that response from the Lord is something that you crave. There's a relationship. Then that's what I live for. I want his smiles in my life. I want to be the good, faithful servant. And I'm thankful that the Lord has made that provision for us. Don't allow the devil to take that. Don't let him draw a picture. God has a wrath and a judgment, but he also has created a way to live with him, before him, in his presence, in clarity, in pureness, in righteousness, that I can stand, so to speak, before the Lord and say, Lord, by your grace and by your truth, I'm doing all that I know to do. And when the enemy comes, you rebuke him in the name of Jesus, that I have not turned my back on God. I have not forsaken his truth. And all those accusations, you can just take them right. You open the door and kick them out and then shut the door again. Because that is the Lord's desire, is to be able to tell us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what's at the center of the whole plan, the whole purpose. And when we know that, when we think about an audit, it takes the fear out of it. Because not only is the one that this independent body is not only auditing my life, but he wants to help my life. He wants to enable and accomplish his workmanship in my life. So if he sees something, it's not my problem anyway, it's his. Lord, if you reveal things in my life that I recognize I need your help in, it's because of his love. And then there is now a capacity of the Lord to be able to minister to that and to bring it to the standard that he has for us. He does not hold things on us that we cannot live by. Don't fall under the condemnation that is out there that says, I have to live in a place of depravity. No, the Lord has presented a freedom and a power to live according to his word day in and day out. He wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want to hear it. I'm sure you do too. I want to hear him say that to me, not just at the end, but every night when I lay my, Lord, how am I today? Audit me today. Tell me, Lord, what can I do to shine like you want me to? And the Lord is faithful to bring those little things. Oh, there's something here. It's a little shaky. There's grace, but now there's something that I have for you. And then it's our responsibility to be faithful to that as our next day. And the Lord gives us things to work on then. He goes on down through here then. Told him, enter into the joy of the Lord. Same with the man with two talents. And then he said he had received the man, then which had received the one talent, 24th verse. And he said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. And I went and I hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there here thou hast, that is thine. And the Lord answered unto him, and he said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gatherest where I had not stored. It's a hard thing to read. I don't want to be in that position. I have to recognize that the audit that God does in our life is one that is just. And he has to abide by that justice. He has grace for us, but there's also a judgment and a justice that God cannot separate himself from. He can't say, you knew what was right, you still didn't do it. I gave you opportunity, you still rejected it, but here you can still be steward over this and enter it. No, there is a penalty that comes. And it's why that little letter I got in the mail, it's so temporary. I mean, the feelings that I felt were emotional feelings for the temporal. But if I start to think about spiritual things, this is an entirely different picture. If you go on down here, we're reading the 31st verse. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king send to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he goes on to set a criteria of how he knew his sheep. You get the letter in the mail and you can answer that. But I thought of it even in our meeting tonight, that if the Lord were to come and his holy angels were to fill this chapel, this was the time. And I my mind almost can't comprehend the emotional, the physical, the just being in that presence. And then he begins to judge and says, this is my sheep. And he puts some on the left. There's a trembling that should respond within us to say, Lord, audit me now so that when you come in your glory, I want to be found. I want to sit in the right side. I want to be in the place. And this is a truth tonight. It doesn't matter how long it's been, the time, it doesn't matter what decisions, choices you made, all of those things. This is the reality, is that this occurrence will happen for each and every single one of us. And there is a truth and a standard that the Lord has presented to each and every one of us. You have a knowledge. Some may have this, some may have this, but you're responsible for what the Lord has put in your hand. The things that he's inspired to your heart, you can't escape them. You can bury them in the ground and say, here, I gave you back what you gave me, but he's going to tell you, you wicked and slothful servant, that's not what I wanted, and you knew that's not what I wanted. So there's a terror that fills me. Lord, what you get, Lord, I want to be faithful and responsible for the things you put in my hands. Because this picture that Jesus painted, the one he said this kingdom that was from the found, prepared from the foundation, all the preparation that he has made for his servants that have done well. His, again, I want to impress upon your heart that this is the Lord's desire, is to see every single one of us enter into the joys of that which he has prepared for each. He has a spot for you. He has a spot, I believe, with your name on it. He's prepared it for you. He wants you to inhabit it and enjoy it for all of eternity. And it's by his mercy that he comes and he says, Ken, there's some things you're going to have to deal with, or that's not going to be yours. I'll have to take your name from that spot. And there's other scripture that says our names written in the Lamb's book. This is the thing you should glory about more. This is the thing we praise God more than anything, is because he's taken that which was on the books. Say Ken Elwell right there. And there's a lot of things under that name. And he, in his mercy, he balanced those books on my behalf. And then he wrote my name in another column. And that's what he's given me. So then, Lord, help me maintain the clarity of the books that you balanced. If you've dealt with things in my life, it doesn't matter when it was. Lord, help me to be faithful to say, and the Lord does that for us. It's not my job to say, you remember when God told you this and when God told you that? He'll do it. He'll whisper it in your ear. Even tonight, you'll feel that unction. If you remember when I told you, you remember when you felt, you remember when I showed you. And now I'm telling you again, I'm giving you opportunity once again to answer and to respond. And the Lord's desire tonight is to extend his grace and his mercy and say, I can take that thing, but you've got to take responsibility for it. You've got to say, yes, Lord, it's just as you've said. I can't make excuses. I can't try to hide it. I can't say no one knows. I can't. You can't hide from this independent body. I can't say, well, I meant well when I... No, if the Lord brings it to our heart, then, Lord, I need to be responsible and say, okay, Lord, it's in your love and your faithfulness. There's a scripture over in 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter. Paul was giving his farewell to Timothy. And he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. I believe that the vision that Paul had of what Jesus had taught was in the forefront of his mind throughout his ministry. And I would encourage each one of us to have that same awareness, that this moment that Paul was... I won't be here all your life. Your pastor won't be here all your life, probably. Depends. I don't know how the Lord decides who goes when. But you understand what I'm saying. That Paul couldn't stay on the scene with Timothy. That your parents can't stay on the scene with you. There's other spiritual giants in our life. But my father's been gone for 9 years, and I crave his prayers and his counsel. Oh, I wish I could ask some things. But in the Lord has decided. And so I see this as Paul looking at Timothy. He knows his fight is run, and now there's a course laid out in front of him. And Paul's Timothy in this was that he had, what did he say? I had fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to also to all of them that also that love his appearing. But he gave him some counsel. He told him to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. If you want a balance, there's a balance. There's doctrine and there's long-suffering. The Lord works with us that way. I'm thankful for it. There's some things I can't handle, and the Lord is faithful to minister to me the part that I can. And as he leads and as he builds and as I learn new things all the time, and that's a good thing. That's the Lord feeding and molding as he sees fit. But there's long suffering and there's doctrine in our ministry and in our counsel and our encouragement to each other. He said here in the 5th verse, but watch thou in all things. Why do we have to watch in all things? Every part of our, but be watchful. Because the audit that comes at the end is going to check all those things. So watch now in all things and endure afflictions and do the work of the evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says every man is right in his own eyes. It says, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. I could argue with the auditor all I want about why I recorded things the way I did. In fact, actually, it's funny because the Lord had already laid this message on my heart, and I got a call from our accountant for our business tax return, and he was looking at some expenses. He's like, you know, he said, I don't know what these are. He said, but if you put them under this category, you can write them off 100%. But if you leave them where they're at, you can't. And totally natural reaction is, that sounds like a good idea because I can save some money. And who's going to, there's a lot of things that went through my mind. But of course, you start thinking, say, no, that's not, no, they're in the right category. It's where they need to stay. And there is a watching that we have to, and I'm not talking just about our finances tonight. Please understand. Talking about our attitudes and our relationships and our thought processes and the meditations of my heart and the things I think about and the way that I treat people and the way that I handle the things that God has given me and the responsibilities and the burden. There's a whole host of things. And I don't know what the Lord's given you in your life, but I have to watch in all those things because I want to be able to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The time is getting away from us. Psalms 139 says that, Lord, search my heart. In that same passage, the psalmist expresses how God knows him. He knows his uprising and his down. He knows where he's. There is no separate. There's a recognition and an acceptance that I cannot hide any part of me from God. He knows me from the moment I was conceived till this moment now. He knows everything that I've gone through. He knows everything that I've said. He knows everything that I've thought. He knows all of my weaknesses. He knows absolutely everything there is to know about me and my life. There is nothing hidden. And that's why the psalmist then said, okay, if you can see me like that, then I cast myself at your mercy. And I said, Lord, search my heart and show me if there's anything that you'd have me to do. There's also a scripture in James that says, it talks about the man that hears but doesn't do is like looking at a mirror and seeing myself and then just leaving that place. The Lord in his mercy shows us through his law of liberty. He shows us where we are, and then we have a responsibility to that. Lord, help us to be faithful to respond. Lord, help us to be sensitive to his dealings. Lord, some things are easy and other things are harder. Because there's some that the Lord can put his finger on things in our life that are just for me. Maybe no one else. Maybe it's something the Lord wants me to do. Or maybe it's something he wants me to lay down. It may be even lawful. Not all, everything is lawful. Not all things are expedient. There's some things that are not expedient for me that the Lord may say, Ken, this isn't good for you. And Lord, I want to be sensitive to your drawing. And again, don't let the enemy cast you down. Don't let him paint pictures that you're this horrible person and God is just looking to nitpick at everything. He comes at us with long suffering and grace, mercy, help. He's our shepherd. He's our caregiver. He's our provider. His whole desire and will and purpose is that all of us are able to enter into the joys of heaven. So I trust the Lord has stirred and pricked your heart tonight. And I'd encourage you, if the Lord has dealt with, it may have been from yesterday, it may have been from 3 months ago, and it might have been from 50 years ago. If the Lord has pricked your heart, this is the time to answer the auditor. This is the time to say, okay, Lord, let's get this taken care of. I plead your grace, your mercy, help me fix this. And I assure you, the scripture tells us the Lord will enable you to live according to the truth that he's revealed to your heart. Pray for me.